Now then, we're going to kick off today's Snap Judgment episode with a story that is very close to home. Our own Eliza Smith. She just finished her first year at college, but when she came back for the summer, things were even crazier than when she'd left.
So I'm home from college for the summer at my dad's house. My parents are getting divorced, which took us all by surprise, so it was a really rough time for our family. And they were splitting up because my mom had met this guy named David, and they had decided to get married. So my mom got into this relationship with David. But I only met him once. We were at my mom's house, and David came up to me and essentially just said, "Hey, I hope there's no hard feelings." And at that point, I was just so confused and overwhelmed by all of it that I just kind of stuttered out, "Oh, okay." But sure, there were hard feelings. I mean, my parents had an awesome marriage. And everybody says that about their parents when they're growing up. But my parents are awesome people. And they had basically gutted the house that I lived in growing up and had built everything together by hand. And we lived three blocks from the beach. And we'd come home and read storybooks before bed. And I mean, it was pretty idyllic and lovely. So my parents' split was a total shock, but I, you know, didn't want to dwell, so I started to move forward and accept the fact that it was happening. But the thing about David was that he was a boat builder in England. His lifelong dream was to sail around the world in a boat that he had built himself. When he met my mom, he decided that he was going to sail from England to California, and then they would go on from there. David left port a couple days before Christmas, and we never heard from him ever again. He was supposed to get to his first port a month after he left England. And then a month passed, and then another month passed, and then all of a sudden 6 months had passed, and we just never heard from him in that time. Every time I talked to my mom during that limbo period when David was missing, I would say to her, "Hey, maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's on an island somewhere. Maybe he washed up. Maybe his radar stopped working. Maybe he's just drifting out in the ocean. Who knows?" And every time I said that to her, she'd just say, "No, I know that he's dead." I just didn't want to think that, because here was this person who came into my life and, you know, basically disrupted my existence as I had known it for 17 years and broke up my parents, and now he's dead? I just couldn't quite bring myself to believe that someone who would change my life so dramatically would then disappear. It's like coming into a room and ransacking it. And just leaving and saying, "Oh, clean this up," and never coming back. I just thought in my brain, I just thought over and over again, how could this guy possibly be dead? He has to come back and he has to make this right. One night I wake up in the middle of the night. I was brought out of my slumber by fear. And then when I came to and got my bearing, I realized I was afraid because there was somebody in my room. I felt like somebody was standing in the corner of my bedroom. Somebody was really afraid and was in my bedroom. You know, images came to mind as I was feeling this feeling. If I could see it, it would be shivering, have its arm wrapped about itself, doubled over, and I felt like it was a darker presence. I thought in that moment, I really don't want to see this thing. And so I thought in my head, I was trying to speak to it and just say, "Please don't let me see you. I just don't want to." And so slowly I went back to sleep. And the first few nights, I just don't open my eyes. I feel instinctively that whatever is there is going to be terrifying. After that first night, the presence came back every night after that. And I still couldn't see it, but it kept getting bolder and bolder. And one night I could feel it sit on my bed. And when I woke up, there was the imprint in the bed of him sitting there. And then a few days later, I was brushing my teeth. Then I looked up and I looked in the mirror, and there was somebody standing in the hallway behind me. A shadow. It was dark and sort of slumped over, sort of holding itself. And it wasn't moving, but I could feel that it was turned in my direction and it was looking at me. At this point, I'd already started to wonder if this thing was David, so I decided to test my theory. And so I kind of got up and thought in my head, okay, follow me. And my dad's bedroom door was slightly ajar. I pushed it open. He was fast asleep. I stepped inside the room and immediately just felt safe because I knew that the presence hadn't followed me in there. If it was David, he didn't want to get near my dad. And in the meantime, while all this was happening, my mom is online on all these blogs and websites putting the word out about David. And by now it's turned into this multi-month international search. And in some ways I didn't want his boat to be found because it might be empty. I was holding out hope that he was just stranded on an island or adrift at sea. But still, this presence or this feeling of a presence wouldn't go away. And eventually, I was just feeling so unhinged and crazy that I had to talk to somebody. When I told my mom, I went to my mom and I said, "Mom, I have to tell you, I'm feeling really afraid at night. You know, I keep feeling like this person is my room. And Mom, I think it's David. I think it's David." And she said, "No, he's not." And I said, "Well, you know, I have this feeling." And she said, "Well, he'd come to me. He wouldn't come to you." I just thought, okay, I'm going to have to suffer through this on my own. It's not going to be something that I can go to my mom about. It was just this feeling of thinking, okay, I'm doing this alone. I was at the farmer's market one day, and this ghost had been coming to me in the night. You know, he'd sat on my bed, I'd seen him. I was feeling freaked out and my nerves were pretty frazzled. I had my hand on a piece of fruit. I was sort of feeling it. And this voice came up behind me and said, "Hey, are you okay?" And I turned around and there was this woman who I'd never seen before. She was looking at me like she really knew who I was. She just came to me like she saw something. She could see what was inside my brain. I don't even know, but she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No." We were in this bustling market and there were all these people walking around us. It was loud, packed public place. But at that moment, it really felt like the only thing I could hear was her. She just said, "I can see there's something going on with you. Do you want to talk about it?" My sense of disbelief had been suspended so far at this point that what I was experiencing in the middle of the night was so out there and so beyond my scope of reason and understanding that I just said, "What the hell?" I said, "Yes." So she gave me her contact information, and I ended up going to her house one day. She just brought me into one of her bedrooms and said, "Hey, so tell me what's wrong." And I said, "This sounds crazy, but someone's haunting me." And she just looked at me and smiled and said, "Yeah, someone is haunting you." And then she said, "Do you know someone who died in the water?" Kind of shrugged. And she said, Okay. I just want you to know that when I met you, there was someone standing with you. When you came in today, he came in with you too. And he's here in the room with us. He's wet. His clothes are wet. And she started to go on. She said, he's scared. And I said, yeah, I know. And I just knew at that moment who we were dealing with. And I knew it was David. And I knew then that he had died. One of the scariest, most surreal moments of my life. She said, yeah, you're the light right now. He can't cross over because he's in distress. And because he's in distress, he can't see where he should go. And so he just is hooking onto you like a moth to the flame. And she says that he can't go to your mom because her grief is too immediate. And it's like she's putting up blinders. She just can't see him. He's with you now. And if you don't want to feel this way forever, you have to help him. Move on. I felt a wave of anger and irritation wash over me because now he was asking me, he was placing the biggest burden on me, asking me to help him cross over so he could die properly. And I just sort of felt like, hey, I don't owe you anything. She told me in the meeting that I had to light candles every night and redirect his energy towards a flame so that he wouldn't look at me as a beacon, and that I was supposed to put 4 bowls of salt water in the corners of my room. So I went home and I went up to my room and I put the salt water in the corners and put the candles by my bed and I lit the candles and I did that every night for about a month, and then they found his boat. I got a call from my mom. I think I blocked it out a little bit because it was so awful. But basically, my mom called me up and said, they found David's boat. And she said, and there's been evidence that he was blown over the side in a squall. His boat was found off the coast of the Maldives. It was floating out on the open ocean. And they actually managed to send us some pictures of this. You know, in the pictures you can see that the sails are just completely gone. They've just been torn off the boat. All the paint is chipped. And then the railing around the deck, there's a part of it that's torn. And that's probably where he tied himself to the boat when he was blown over. When he was pulled over the railing, it came with him. And that was the last sign we had of him. That was the only sign we had of him that was left. So all we really had was a boat. We didn't have a body. We just didn't get the same closure that other people get. The closest I got to closure was that his presence went away. And I never saw or felt him again.
We'd like to thank Eliza Smith for sharing her story with The Snap. It was produced by Julia DeWitt with sound design by Leon Morimoto.